between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. I hope you are prepared for the creepiest day of the year. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and first, I want to say I am sorry last week's intro sounded so much like one promotion after the other. I was having a pretty difficult week, and the only positive things I could hold on to were my distractions, aka my entertainment. I'm not getting paid for any of that, it's just stuff I like to talk about. I really wanted to talk about how great my walks have been through the orange and red trees, how I love crunching fall leaves beneath my feet like some kind of giant stomping on ghost towns. But instead I went on about a podcast. Not even mine. Best laid plans. I mean, it's a great podcast, but you know what I mean. But that is definitely something to keep in mind during the season change. Although we may love fall and love the weather, seasonal depression and stress is very much a thing. Be kind to yourself and others. If you can only seem to focus on your distractions, that's okay. I have a whole intro in the last episode with suggestions to do just that. I am also publishing an extra episode this week on Halloween to give you guys something else to look forward to. Don't forget to check it out. It comes out on Halloween. Last year's was so much fun, so I had to do it again. But my favorite medicine for overstimulated, over-anxious brain is to think of the worst-case scenario, then create a story around it. But my favorite medicine for an overstimulated, over-anxious brain is to think about the worst-case scenario, then create a story around it, because, after all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. From campy to, how did that jack-o'-lantern just light itself? Scary. I want to hear them all because your fucked-up brains came up with them. Because of last week's ramble, this week, I will just mention one of the movies I just watched. The School for Good and Evil on Netflix is fucking amazing. Like, now at the top of my list for one of my all-time favorite movies ever. Okay, I had to get that Okay, let's see if I can do this right. Okay, I had to get that out of my system because I just saw it and am fangirling over it. It is so good. And hopefully they make more. This week's writer, who you can find on Reddit under the username top_neighborhood_859, must have buckets and buckets of nightmares because this week's story is full of terror. Last week, we saw the trick-or-treaters just beginning to be angry about the lack of candy. I wonder how much further it escalates. But first, here's a reminder of what happened in last week's story.
I'm sorry, kids. We don't have any candy to offer you. Maybe you'll have better luck at the next house. Or maybe in town, Mary added. Sam and Mary both stood there for several seconds in an awkward silence. Just as Mary started to repeat herself, the kids turned in unison and walked off the porch. Mary went back inside. But about 15 feet away, Sam could see that there was a jack-o'-lantern and for a little dramatic flair, it still had the knife sticking out of the top. Sam carried the pumpkin back to the porch. He set it down, but in the light, he could see it wasn't covered in paint. It was covered in blood. When Sam walked back into the house, he closed the door quietly, then turned to see if his wife was just standing in the living room, staring off into space. She appeared to be frozen, and then he followed her gaze. He saw that the sliding glass door was wide open.
Last week, as you just heard, we started to hear about the dangers of not stocking up on candy for Halloween. If you don't, something horrific may befall you. Do you think they were able to escape the trick? Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of No Treats, Part 2.
When did you open that?
He asked his wife. Mary didn't answer. Sam looked at her more closely. Her hands were trembling. Her lips were moving only slightly, as if she was trying to speak, but her brain was temporarily unable to complete the task. Sam looked back at the door. It was completely open.
It's okay. I'll close it. He walked around his wife, and then when he turned to face the door, he saw what had frightened his wife. They were standing there, in the tree line, less than 50 feet from the porch. The darkness concealed all but the silhouettes of their bodies, the children that had been at the door, and what had to be their parents. Sam watched for a moment. He desperately wanted to run and close the door, but he was almost certain that if he had ran, they would run towards him. Like a dog chasing a rabbit only after it ran away. And one thing he was sure of, even though he couldn't see their faces in the dark, he was sure they had the same look in their eyes. He could feel it. They were looking at his family as if they were prey. Sam decided he was much closer to the door than they were. He could make it. He ran and slid the door shut as fast as he could. His hands fumbled over the latch, and finally it clicked into place. Sam looked back into the yard, expecting to see them rushing at him, prepared to smash their way into the house, but much to his relief, they were standing there, watching. He turned to see his wife crying. She hadn't moved. Sam walked back to his wife. He put his arms around her to comfort her. It's going to be okay. They're just some assholes playing a sick joke,
Sam said, trying to reassure his wife.
They opened the door. They were here in our house,
Mary exclaimed.
Try to relax. They opened the door. If they wanted to hurt us, they could have done more, right?
Sam asked. Mary wiped the tears from her face. She tried to choke out a yes, but couldn't get the words from her. She nodded yes and then wiped more tears away. Sam hugged and then kissed her to try and comfort her. He could see how shaken she was.
Look, we can call the police and get someone out here. I'm sure the police can get them for trespassing at the bare minimum. The police coming out here will scare them anyway, right?
Sam asked his wife. He knew on some level he was talking himself down as much
as he was talking his wife down.
Yeah. Yes, call 911, Mary said.
Sam gave his wife another kiss on her forehead. Then he turned back to the living room. He stood in front of the coffee table, scanning it from left to right. Then he turned to the couch. He began to run his hands between the couch cushions. Then he kneeled down and frantically looked under the couch and ran his hand all along the floor under the sides of the couch.
I could swear I set my phone on the table when I got home. I know because I sat it right next to yours, Sam said.
Mary began to cry again.
Yes, you did. I remember that. Because I had to move them to put the popcorn down. They were inside the house, I told you.
Sam walked to the door and looked outside. He couldn't see anybody. He rushed into the kitchen and looked out the window. He couldn't see anybody in the front yard.
Okay, fuck this. Get the baby. I don't know what these people have planned. They have come into our house. They have taken our phones. I know if they wanted to hurt us, they could have. But they want something. I think they want to scare us, but we should play it safe. I don't want to wait and find out for sure. I want you to get the baby ready. I'm going to pull your car up the front porch. Meet me out there, and we'll just drive to the police station.
Okay, Mary said with a nod. She turned and went back to the baby's room.
Where are the keys?
Did Sam call from inside the living room? What? Mary asked when she came back into the living room. The baby was still asleep in her arms.
The keys are gone, Sam said. They were here on the table, the same place I leave them every night when I get home. Right next to yours.
Mary looked at the table. Her eyes began to fill with tears again. There was a loud knock at the door, then a second later, another loud knock. The baby woke up and began to cry. Mary moved away from the door. Sam moved toward the door, placing himself between his family and whoever was there. He looked at the sliding glass door to make sure that nobody was there watching him. His heart was racing.
Well, obviously I'm not going to open it, he whispered to his wife.
And then, as if on cue, he saw the lock turn. They have the keys, he thought. It clicked that he didn't have to open the door for them. They can get in any time they want. The handle began to turn. He slammed his body against the door and turned the lock again, but the door was already open slightly. Something was just pushing against the other side of the door. Sam pushed as hard as he could. Take the baby to the room. Lock the door, Sam barked at his wife. She didn't say anything, just cried and shook her head no. The person on the other side of the door seemed to let up slightly and then slammed the door with enough force to knock Sam onto the floor. Sam took a second to get his bearings. The man stepped into the room and turned his focus from Sam to Mary and the baby. He was tall, at least 6'5" and 250 pounds. The intruder had a terrifying mask on. Mary stepped backward to the bedroom slowly. The man matched her, step for step.
Sam saw that he had hit his head on something. Blood dripped from his head to the floor. He rolled to get up and saw that he had hit his head on the stack of firewood next to the stove. Sam looked to the door. The man wasn't there anymore. He looked to where he was. Everything seemed slow and fuzzy. He knew he had a concussion. Every movement, even moving his head to scan the room, made him want to vomit. He wanted to sleep, but he saw the man's boots in front of him. They were covered in blood. He looked up. The man looked even taller and bigger from Sam's perspective, lying on the floor. It was then that Sam noticed the man was walking away from him to Mary. He heard the baby scream. He had to do something. He looked around for something, anything he could use to fight the man off. He picked up a piece of wood from the pile he had fallen into. It was heavy and he struggled to get a good grip on it with one hand. He stood and placed both hands on the log to get a better grip. Sam took a step, as slowly and quietly as he could. Mary took another step back. The man matched her, and Sam matched the intruder. And it was then that Mary saw the woman step into the house. She waved a knife playfully, menacingly at Mary. Mary yelled, "Leave us alone!" Unfortunately, Sam assumed Mary was yelling at the man in front of him. He hadn't heard or seen the woman walk in behind him. He felt a sharp, white, hot, burning sensation as the blade entered his spine. Pain radiated through his body. Every nerve in his body seemed to be screaming at him, telling him some part of him had been damaged. And he knew it was. He couldn't feel anything except pain below his shoulders. He collapsed to the ground, landing on his face. Mary screamed as Sam hit the floor. The knife was still sticking out of his back. She held the baby slightly against her body, the baby's face pointing into Mary's chest. She wanted to protect her, not only from these people that had broken into her house, but from these people that had just murdered her husband. She wanted to save her baby from seeing this, as if the sight of such cruelty would scar her daughter. Mary was scared. Scared that seeing this darkness would damage her in some irreparable way. Sam gasped and tried to speak, but nothing more than a gurgle came out. He wanted desperately to tell his wife to run, to tell her to hide in the bedroom and barricade the door, to tell her to fight with everything she had to save herself and their baby. But each word he spoke came out like a gasp, a gurgle, and a spurt of blood. The masked woman stepped forward and placed her foot on Sam's back. He groaned as he was pressed into the floor. She twisted the knife clockwise and then counterclockwise, causing Sam to scream as the wounded widened. Mary could hear bones cracking and grinding in his spine as the knife twisted. She cried out, "Please stop!" The baby cried louder as she heard the panic and desperation in her mother's voice. The masked man turned to face his accomplice, and she looked up at him. It was impossible to see through their masks,
But Mary knew. I'd do those hideous things. They were smiling at each other. That somehow, they were relishing in this moment. And then the woman pulled the knife out of Sam's back. His wound gushed blood that rolled down his side and pooled on the floor. And then he went limp. In unison, the man and woman stepped toward Mary. Mary knew she was next. She ran to the bathroom and closed the door. She twisted the door, the lock shut. She laid the baby on the bed and grabbed the dresser. It took every ounce of her strength she had. The masked couple began banging on the door. They hit the door harder and harder. The door propped open as the door frame splintered with the force of two intruders. It slammed against the dresser again and again. The baby was screaming now as she could sense the chaos that had entered her world. Mary wanted nothing more than to pick her up and comfort her. But she knew she had to do everything she could to keep her safe and keep them out. Mary placed all her weight against the dresser and pushed it back up against the door. 100 thoughts rushed through her head as she fought to keep the door shut. What did they want? Why were they doing this to her family? What could have brought hell itself to her door tonight? Her thoughts were interrupted when she heard a different noise. In between the sounds of the man and woman banging on her door, she heard a new noise behind her. The baby had begun to quiet down, and Mary listened closely.
Shush, shush. Everything is going to be okay.
Mary stiffened in horror. She turned to see who was soothing her baby. It was the trick-or-treaters. The children were standing behind her. One of the girls was holding her child. The other girl was holding a knife. Mary froze. The world seemed to spin as the dresser gave way and the door opened. She couldn't move as the couple stormed in. She screamed as the blade entered, pierced her back and then her side. "Please, don't hurt my baby," was the last thing she managed to get out before the world turned black. No way. I thought, well, maybe more hoped, they would find a way out. I don't know about you, but this story gives me Halloween purge feelings in all the best of ways. Do you think they showed the baby mercy? Or maybe it was already dead. Maybe that's how they quieted it. We didn't really get to see that good of a look at it, right? Or maybe the mom's not dead at all. It just says everything went dark. Oh, so many unanswered questions. Maybe this last bit will clear some of that up for us. I guess you'll just have to hang on and see. Oh, this one is so good. It's so much fun to perform. Perfect prelude to Halloween. Well, you heard it too. What did you think? Was it scary enough? Or a better question? Can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now gather around for the details, children. If you want to be a more active part of the guild, just visit the website. Everything you want to delve more into the world of the guild is there. But mostly, it is best for the utilitarian stuff, like
right on the first page is the recordings of the podcast. How convenient, right? So if you're never quite sure where to find the podcast, just go to the website. If you don't know how to get a story to me, just go to the website. See, it's so useful. Wait. What's the website, you ask? Oh, well, that's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with a .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Today's writing prompt is another one I grabbed from my teacher friend. It is also a little bit different from some of our prompts because it is asking you to create an idea instead of building from a sentence. I mean, I guess you could use it as use the sentence, but I will leave that choice to you. Now for the prompt. You are reading a horror story when you finally realize you are the main character. Not projecting yourself onto them, but the story literally just described your exact bedroom. That one is so good. So many opportunities and avenues you could go down. I myself might even use it as inspiration. I am just trying which story would be best to use it for. If you are like me, and that prompt draws a creepy story out of your oozing brain, please send it to my email. You can find it on that website I just mentioned. If you don't quite remember what I said, the email was also at the beginning of the episode. Don't forget about the extra story that you guys get this week in celebration of my favorite holiday. Did I mention yet that I am excited about Halloween? Maybe once, right? So, hey, guys, can you do me a favor? If you are enjoying the podcast, can you just give it a like and a follow? And or follow on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Google, or any platform you use to listen to today's episode. Oh my gosh, that was a tongue twister for me today. Also, tell your friends. Tell your friends. Tell little strangers if you want. If you are feeling really excited, feel free to add a 5-star review. It helps so much to grow this podcast and get these fabulous authors the attention they deserve. Speaking of amazing authors, let's give one final shout out to the mastermind behind our nightmares this week. You can find them on Reddit under the username top_neighborhood_859. If you are uncertain about the spelling, check it out in the description. Okay, whew. Here it is. The thing you have been waiting for now for 2 whole weeks. The end of this terror tale. Enjoy, if you dare. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Please, don't forget your candy. Until Halloween, creep it real. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.